Good morning, everyone. It is just so good to be together with you all. So good to be in the house of the Lord, to worship the Lord in all of his goodness and all of his glory. I thank God for you all. I've been just reflecting really the past few weeks on all of you and just on this body. And I'm just so thankful for you all. So thankful for each and every one of you. I look back and I've been here a long time. Like, yeah. Hey, he's affirming how long I've been here. I think speaking to my age. Anyways, I'm just so blessed. I'm so blessed. And I'm just thankful, even in the midst of all of this insanity world, that we can gather together here, we can gather online, and we can worship Jesus together. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord God, you are so good, and you have been so good to us, Lord. In the midst of sickness, in the midst of death, in the midst of sorrow, in the midst of joy, in the midst of hope, in the midst of peace, Lord, you are with us. And you have promised to shepherd us, to lead us, O Lord God, to never leave us and never forsake us, that you are with us always. And so, Lord, we give you praise and thank you for your great, great love for us, Lord. We give you praise and thanks for Jesus, Lord God, dying on the cross in our place, that we would have eternal life. We ask, Lord God, for your Holy Spirit to continue to give us your fruit, Lord. We would grow in love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and self-control, Lord God. That your ways would be our ways, that what you love, we would love, and what you reject, we would reject, O Lord. We pray that you would lead us to such lives that those around us, Lord, would look and would see you and turn to you, O Lord God, for salvation. Would you please strengthen us this morning, encourage us this morning, fill us with the hope of the love of Jesus Christ, that we would go forth encouraged and strengthened and loving you and those with whom you will lead us to this week. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, let us turn, please, to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. As we've said for the past few weeks, as we've been in, as we've been going through John chapter 9, this is really this whole section here, John 9 through 11 and 12 even, there's some reference back and forth between 11 and 12, that they go together. And it may appear at first that John 10 sort of stands alone and stands off and starts like a whole new setting or something. It's just kind of like we're dropped in the middle of a setting, but we're not at all, actually. And if you remember John chapter 9, there was a man born blind. The disciples were asking the questions that most of us would ask and was very common thinking, not just then, but today. And they saw the man born blind and said, what happened here? Did this man sin or was it his parents who sinned? Thinking that if someone is suffering, then it's the direct cause of something bad they've done in their life. That's often the case. That often happens. That if we make bad choices or if we do things that are dangerous or sinful or unwise, that there can often be consequences in our lives. If we choose to speed while driving, we could get a ticket. That could be a consequence of our actions. Whereas if we chose not to speed, we wouldn't get a ticket, at least not for speeding. But Jesus says, no, that's not how it works on an individual basis. But there are general principles that, yes, that's how it works. But when you're looking at this particular man who's born blind, No, you cannot say it's because either he sinned or his parents sinned. No. He's saying in this case here, this man was born blind so that the power of God would be revealed to the world, right? And we walk through all that, how he heals. Jesus heals the man, and the man goes and testifies to not just the people around him and his friends and his family, but he goes to the religious leaders and tells them what Jesus has done, and they're mad, and they want him to speak against Jesus, and he refuses to, and he just gets bolder and bolder in his proclaiming, look, I don't know all of what the Bible says, but I know this, I was blind, Jesus healed me, and now I can see. And Jesus claimed that this working of from darkness to light, from blind to sight, is part of the work that Jesus does. He did it physically here as an example of what he does spiritually for us when we believe. But then at the end, the Pharisees say, hey, what are you calling us blind? How dare you say that about us? And he says, look, you're the ones who claim to see, and yet you do not believe me. You claim to have sight, but you don't. In fact, you're leading people away from God, and you think you're doing the opposite. You arrogantly think you're doing the opposite. So it's with that kind of judgment upon the Pharisees that we come into chapter 10. Jesus declares. We're going to look this morning at chapter 10, verses 1 through 21. Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is the hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. There was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, he has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him? Others said, these are not the words of one who's oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? This is God's word. And here we do have one of the I am statements, where Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. It's also another one that's tucked in there. I am the gate. It's going to use a number of different images here from this idea of the sheep and the shepherd. The sheep and the shepherd. He's going to pick different aspects of this out to illustrate and to point to who he is. He's starting off by, in verses 1 through 6, saying that the sheep follow the shepherd. They won't follow the hired hand. They won't follow the thieves or the robbers, but the sheep follow the shepherd. He starts off, truly, truly, which is just the words, amen, amen. I say to you, and now he's pointing back to the Pharisees that he just has been condemning for their prideful assuming that they are the ones who alone know God, and yet they're disobeying all God's commands, that they are supposed to be shepherds of God's people, but they're not. He says, the one who enters the sheepfold, not by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. That one comes, yes, he's in the sheep pen, he's amongst the sheep, but he's not a shepherd. He's not one who actually loves and cares for the sheep. All throughout the Bible, there's all kinds of imagery about sheep and shepherds. And so let me start off by trying to be very clear. I know very little about shepherding and sheeping, whatever the verb may be. All right. I don't know anything about it. All right, so anything I say here, I hate when pastors like or any teacher kind of proclaim something as fact and it's just because they read it in a book, okay? So this comes from reading and studying, my understanding of all this, don't claim to be some expert in this. If you want to talk about an expert in how the Patriots lost this season, we can talk about that maybe, but in this case here, I just want to be clear, this is what I understand, what I've read about sheep and shepherds and this whole process here. One illustration, one imagery that we have of sheep and shepherds in the Bible is in the book of Ezekiel chapter 34. I won't go back and read it, but I encourage you to read it when you have time. Ezekiel chapter 34, God sends his prophet Ezekiel to pronounce judgment on the leaders, the religious leaders, who he calls shepherds. And he says, you are supposed to take care of the sheep, protect them from being attacked, feed them, give them water, and take care of them. And you haven't. You, religious leaders, instead, you have taken and put yourself first. You've stolen from the sheep. You've taken their food for yourselves. And the picture there is that the leaders are supposed to bless God's people. And they haven't been. And God is pronouncing judgment on them for their lack. That's twice, 2 weeks in a row I've done that. I've got to find a better way to hold that, sorry. That God is pronouncing judgment on the leaders because they're not really loving and taking care of the sheep. I really think that we need to, all of us, be very careful, be very wise in who it is that we, follows the wrong word probably, that might be too strong, but you know, I know that as Protestants, you know, a number of years ago, we saw all of the scandals going on in the Catholic Church and had many different reactions, very saddened by it. I think there seemed to be, though, there was a little bit among some of us as Protestants that were like, well, yeah, but that's because those are the Catholics. You know, they don't get it right. And look, and you know, they don't get married and blah, 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 all this, their problems, right? Not us. Well, we should always be careful about that because I think since then, it comes out every week, another story of a Protestant, Bible-believing, evangelical pastor or leader who has sinned, who has either sinned sexually, or financially, some type of abuse and power trip, and all kinds of things. And it's so damaging and hurtful, not just to the name of Christ, but to people, right? And so just encourage all of us to, you know, not look at leaders more highly than we ought, but also hold us accountable. I don't say that lightly, and I'm not at all claiming, please, there, but by the grace of God, go I or any of us. Hold me accountable. And, you know, if I misbehave, smack me around, you know, I mean, call me on it. Those who lead are to lead by serving, right? Whatever we lead, whether we're leading in a family, in a workplace. I remember when I was working in business before being a pastor, I was a Christian though, and was applying for a higher position, and the head person said to me, "What's your leadership style?" And I knew it wasn't gonna be a winning answer necessarily, but I said, you know, I wanna be a servant leader. And that was really confusing to the person. But I think that's what a shepherd, the good shepherd, does. Right? He doesn't put himself first. He's the one who's there to serve the sheep. Let that be our model. Remember Jesus, he at the final Passover, right? He takes off his cloak and puts a towel around his waist and he washes his disciples' feet. That's what the leader does here. But the others, the men, the robbers, come and they just want to steal and take and plunder for themselves. That's not who the sheep follow, though. In this picture here, we see Jesus is describing himself as the shepherd. And just be careful, because in a minute, not careful, let's fall carefully. In a minute, he's going to talk about himself as a gate and then go back to talking about himself as a shepherd. So he's just picking up different things here. But the picture here is, my understanding, of a large sheep pen where many families would keep their sheep, and there would be under shepherd who would be the gatekeeper, be one entranceway in and out, and they would, you know, keep the sheep in and keep them protected, and, you know, make sure that no robbers or thieves or wolves or anything come to the sheep. And then the individual families, the shepherd, would come and the gatekeeper would recognize them, and they go in and they would call their sheep. They actually, and what I understand, this is still the way many parts of the Near East do their shepherding today, unlike in America, I think, when I'm reading, that they will actually call them by name, and just the ones that are theirs, not the other families, they actually know the voice, and they will come out, and they will follow that shepherd out by the voice. I think that's amazing. That's awesome. They actually listen and hear by the shepherd's voice, and they actually come out, and they follow them. If it's someone they don't know who tries to call them, they won't follow them. This is the picture that he uses here. It goes even deeper than that. He's not just calling out where he says, where the shepherd, where Jesus says, "Oh sheep, come." No, says he calls his own sheep by name. No matter how big the flock is, the picture here is that Jesus, no matter how many of us around the world, Jesus knows us by name. That's to speak of how personally Jesus knows you and loves you and cares for you. He calls you to come to himself and follow him because they know his name. He knows each of our names. Now, verse 4, here's the other way that the sheep follow the shepherd. That's weird. I didn't think about this until, again, I was trying to read about shepherds and all that. In America and many other countries, again, not an expert, okay? Correct me if you are and you know this, please. That, you know, we use like sheep dogs and everything to kind of herd the sheep to get them going where we want them to go. That's not how they do it in Israel and a few other nations, even to this day. The shepherd speaks, they follow, and the shepherd goes in front. The shepherd isn't behind pushing the sheep forward. He literally, or she literally walks in front of them, leading them. This is the way we're going to go, protecting them as they go forward. I love that imagery. I love that. Come sheep, here's where we're going to go. It's not, yeah, go there and I'll be along later. Let me know if it's dangerous out there. The sheep go, how do we walk? Where do we walk? What do? We follow Jesus. We walk as Jesus walks. We talk as Jesus walks. We live as Jesus lives. We feel as Jesus feels. We think as Jesus thinks, because he's our shepherd. And he has shown us that he cares for us first. We'll see how much as this passage goes on. It says in verse 6, the people didn't understand this. So he again told them, you know, another parable, told it to them in some different ways. And in verses 7 through 18, she speaks of how the shepherd, the good shepherd, the one whom Jesus is, the one whom we are to follow, is the one who gives his life for the sheep. Now, he uses these two images here. First, says, I am the door of the sheep. So before, there was like one enclosure with lots of family sheep and a gatekeeper. And then Jesus says he's the shepherd and calls them by voice. Now he's saying that he's the gate. He's the gate. And as the gate, he is the one who sleeps in the gate with the pen and the sheep. So he is the one who protects the sheep, who makes sure they don't get lost. And he is the one who keeps all danger out and away from the sheep. And he says, when you come in and out by me, by Jesus, you have both protection and you have led into the pasture, so you're provided for. You are fed. You have water. You have sustenance. You have protection. You have all that you need because you are being taken care of as you enter and exit by the gate. It's not what the thief does. The thief only comes to steal. But Jesus saying he is the gate for the sheep. He is the one who provides abundant life, he says. Life of protection, life of abundance and plenty and sustenance and all that we need. Physically, emotionally, and spiritually. He is the gate. Now he also says then in verse 11, I am the good shepherd. Again, he's picking up on different things here. He's a shepherd again. He's describing himself as being the good shepherd. I always remember Pastor Batten, he taught me that looking at Psalm 23, right? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want, right? It's on the plaque back there, the 23rd Psalm, right? Such a beautiful Psalm. Remember Pastor Batten calling out, we see in the Old Testament that God declares himself as the shepherd. The Lord declares himself as a shepherd. And then we see the fuller expanse of that as we come to John chapter 10 in the New Testament. Not only is the Lord our shepherd, but Jesus is the good shepherd. And it's actually not a term to kind of make it seem like he's weak and frail and all that. Shepherding, this is very, very hard, grueling, tiring work that requires a lot of strength and has a lot of danger into it. That he is the good shepherd. The hired hand, someone who is not Jesus, that they don't care about the sheep. They don't love the sheep. But Jesus does. Jesus doesn't flee when there's trouble. When something happens to the sheep pen or the sheep are in danger, he doesn't run away and say, psh, this isn't worth it. He loves you. Jesus loves you. That he's giving his own life for you. He's not just, you know, giving you an example of how to live. He's not saying this is how you should live. You should give your life for others too, right? He's actually substituting himself for us, putting himself in danger so that we are safe, giving up his own life so that we would live. Why? Because he loves us. You know the parable from Luke chapter 15, where Jesus says, if there's 99 sheep and one is lost, the good shepherd goes after the one. The good shepherd doesn't say, well, I'm tired, I got 99, that's pretty good. Or, well, one wandered off, there might be danger there, I don't want to go into danger, I'm just going to stick with what I got. And they're not, no. For one of us, Jesus comes and he rescues us because of his great, great love for us. As the good shepherd, he says in verse 15, he lays down his life for the sheep. And that's what he does when he goes to the cross, because of his great love for you, for us. That's what I want us to see from this passage. Jesus as the good shepherd, as the one who loves us so much that he cares for us. He provides for us, and provides not just for what we need now in this life, which he does, but also for eternity, because he died on the cross for us and in our place. Back again in Ezekiel chapter 34, as I mentioned, where God is chastising the leaders of the people for not for caring about themselves more than the people, he then makes a promise at the end of that chapter, and he says, I will send you a shepherd who will really take care of you, who will really provide for you. And he's speaking about Jesus way back in the book of Ezekiel. And God keeps his promise, and he sends his son, his only son, Jesus. And Jesus stands here and declares in front of these people that he is the good shepherd who lays down his life for us because he loves us. Again, I know nothing about sheep and shepherding, but I just have this picture here of, here is this shepherd who loves his sheep, that Jesus loves us. He loves you. He's caring for you. He knows what you're suffering right now. He knows what's hard. He knows where we're hurting. And he's not wandering off. He's not saying, that's too hard for me. He's not saying, that's too small for me. He's not saying, I got more important things to worry about. No. He's right there with you. And he's protecting you. And he's caring for you. And he even gives up his own life for you. Jesus is the good shepherd, and we are the sheep of his pasture. He says here, just as to mention quickly, so I don't want to just blow by it. Jesus says in verse 16, I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I believe he's talking to the Israelites, to the Jewish nation right now, the Jewish people, and he's speaking of Gentiles also that he has to fold in. So that as we see throughout the rest of the New Testament there, that now there's one church, there's one people, no longer Jews and Gentiles, there's one people because there's one shepherd, there is one God. Jesus didn't get killed. He laid down his life for us. And this passage just wraps up, as it so often does throughout these passages here, that the people are still divided on Jesus. They still don't understand in verses 19 to 21. Some people say he's insane. He must have a demon. He sounds crazy. Others say, no. It doesn't sound like a crazy man. He's saying things I don't understand, maybe, but I've seen his power at work, and I'm listening to his words. There's something here about this Jesus. And this passage here, I would like for us and for myself to see the very profound profound truth. Jesus loves us. Jesus loves you. Look at how much he loves you. Know in your hearts, whatever you think about yourself, whatever you're feeling right now, whatever mistakes or sins or horrible choices you've made, Jesus loves you. He loves you. Let's pray. Oh, Lord Jesus, you are the good shepherd. Lord, help us to hear your voice and follow you, Lord. Not the voice of false shepherds or ones with evil intent. Help us not, Lord, to follow our own voices, our own ways, our own understanding, Lord, but to follow you, our good shepherd. Thank you for your love, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.